Galatians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 1. We went a few verses into it, but let's just pick up from the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. And of course, I mentioned last week that the reason he is saying that he's an apostle, not from men or through men, but through Jesus Christ, is because one of the key things or key problems that the apostle Paul had here was that these Jewish believers who were going around behind him and undermining him were challenging his authority as an apostle and questioning whether or not maybe what he saw on the Damascus Road was a lot of his own imagination. You know, maybe Christ hadn't appeared to him and all that. So they were certainly challenging him. Now, we're going to see here in this first chapter and in part of the second chapter, if not most of the second chapter, is Paul defending his apostleship, defending who he is and where he got his teaching from. Okay? Because the apostle Paul was not taught along with the other apostles by Christ when he was here, right? He became a believer after Christ ascended back to heaven. And so the natural question would be then, well, Paul, this stuff you're preaching, where did you get your information from, right? And so that's what he's defending here in this first part of Galatians. All right, so he says, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He's bringing them back to the gospel that he preached to them on his first missionary journey. All right, when he was sent out from the Church of Antioch. And he's telling them, if anybody tells you anything different than what I've preached, let him be accursed. Don't even fellowship with him. All right? Now, I want you to notice it says any other gospel. Any other gospel. In the Greek language in this passage, when I was translating it, the essence of what he's saying is if anyone adds to the gospel that I have preached. All right, if anyone adds anything to it. And that's exactly what they were doing, right? They were saying, well, okay, what Paul said, that's fine, but you also need to keep the law, you need to be circumcised, and keep all the feast days and the dietary laws and all those other things. So he's saying that if they preach that to you, let them be accursed. All right, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Now, this is the second time. First, he said in verse 1 that he's an apostle not through men, right? Or not by the authority of men. And now he's saying that the message that he preached is not from men. What he's essentially saying is he got it directly from God. Look at the next verse. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I didn't learn this from Peter and James and Bartholomew and all the other apostles that Jesus taught. I learned this directly from Christ. Now the question is naturally going to come up, well, Paul, when did you learn this from Christ? Because Christ isn't here. Let's go on.
Yeah, he didn't teach him all that at the road of Damascus.
That's right. He only said a few things on the Damascus Road. Okay? All right, we'll see in just a moment. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And the traditions of his fathers are the customs of the Jews. Those are the very things that these people were saying the Christians needed to observe. And he's saying, I used to be that way. I used to preach that you had to keep the law and all these things. In fact, he was persecuting Christians. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Well, let me stop for just a moment. Why is Paul bringing up the issue that he used to persecute Christians here and that he was zealous for the law? I want you to tell me.
Because what he's teaching now is so completely opposite of what he believed in before. And the reason he was persecuting the Jews is because they were learning and teaching the new religion.
Mm-hmm.
So he was persecuting them
for right.
that. And
Make-
now he's done a complete 360 degree turnaround.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, the question then is, why would Paul make such a dramatic change? He went from being the persecutor to the persecutee, right? He went from persecuting people for teaching contrary to the law to now being persecuted himself. What would make a man do that? Right, right. And he's offering this as evidence that his Damascus Road experience was in fact genuine, and he's not making it up, because a man is not going to make a total flip-flop on everything he has believed in and invested his entire life in for no apparent reason, right?
Plus, he was well known among the Jews.
Yes, he had status.
For being a persecutor.
He was not only was he well known for being a persecutor, he was well known for being a scholar in the Jewish faith. All right, he's not going to give all that up and turn completely around with no reason. Okay, so then he says, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Now that statement right there is referring to his Damascus Road experience. That I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now I want to stop here and go back to Acts chapter 9, where this actually took place. Let's go to Acts 9, and let's look at some of the details in Acts 9. He actually adds some details that are not in Acts 9, but Acts 9 has more details that are not here. So by putting these two passages together, we learn a great deal about what actually happened. Now, you all know what happened to him on the Damascus Road. I just want to point out what Christ said to him in verse... You know, let's just start in verse 1. We've got time. Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, which is what Christianity was called originally, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's where he obviously changed his mind, right? When he heard Christ speaking to him. Verse 7, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately, notice that word, immediately, as soon as he's converted and baptized, what does he do? He starts preaching. He starts preaching. Now, you've got to have some knowledge before you can preach, isn't that right? Okay. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Now, verse 22, it says, but Saul increased all the more in strength. That one statement right there, Saul increased all the more in strength, is just a very quick summary of something that Paul explains later as we get into Galatians. So keep your finger here because we're coming right back. But go back to Galatians chapter 1 again. We're coming right back, so don't lose it. And look at verse 16 again. Verse 16, he's describing his conversion. He says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He went to Arabia. Now, Arabia is mostly desert. Paul went out into the desert, and he stayed out there a while. And something happened to Paul while he was out there for a while. Okay? And that's when Christ revealed all these things to him. Now, keep your finger here. Go back to Acts. We're going to flip back and forth a couple times. Back in verse 22, Acts 9, it says, but Saul increased all the more in strength. Now, that's while he's in Arabia. And he confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus. Because after he left Arabia, he came back to Damascus, which is what he said in verse 17 of Galatians 1. It says he went to Arabia and then he returned to Damascus. So he went to Arabia. He learned all these things from direct revelation from Christ there. And then he came back. And now look what happens when he comes back. It says he confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And he's proving it from the Old Testament scriptures, which means the apostle here has gotten an enormous education between the time he was converted and now. He's become an apologist for the Christian faith to the point where he's confounding the Jews with his wisdom and understanding of the scriptures, all right, and how they point to Christ. Now, somebody had to teach him all that, and that was Christ himself. Verse 23, now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. Now, who are the Hellenists?
Mine says Grecians.
Mine does too.
Yes. If you're using an old King James, it says Grecians. But the word means what?
Greek-speaking Jews.
Yes. It's referring to Greek-speaking Jews. They're Jews who lived among the Greeks in the Greek cities and in the Jewish communities. Anyway, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. Now, this is the second time it's said that he basically is confounding these Jews with their own Bible in the way that he's able to defend Christianity from the Old Testament. All right, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus, which is the city that he originally was from, because Paul himself was a Hellenist then, wasn't he? He was born in Tarsus, one of the Greek-speaking cities. All right, so let's flip back to Galatians now.
That these Hellenistic Jews were the ones who were the most antagonistic, because they were the ones that were responsible for the stoning of Stephen.
Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who in Acts 2 said these men are full of new wine, right? It was those Jews. It was the ones who had come from the Greek-placed cities back to Jerusalem to worship.
So there was some dynamic going on among the Jews living in...
Well, you know, they might have considered themselves to be even more committed to the faith because they would travel from their remote places all the way to Jerusalem faithfully to keep the festivals. And not only that, in those little remote, in those cities, they had little Jewish communities that they established that, you know, where they ate kosher foods and they did all their Jewish things, rituals. Even though they're living among the Gentiles, they were preserving the Jewish faith, if you will, in a pagan culture. So they probably consider themselves to be pretty pretty important to Judaism, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Time, so they had to be even stronger.
Yeah.
Just like Paul had to be strong in...
Sure. Sure. So they probably felt, you know, they were defending Moses and the true faith and all that. Okay, so back in Galatians 1, he says, verse 18, after he went to Damascus, what did it say in Acts? It says he went down to Jerusalem, right? And that's when they wouldn't receive him because they were afraid of him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Anyway, he describes that here in verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. And this is right after he was let down out of, over the wall in a basket from Damascus. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, why is he saying that? He said, yes, I did go to Jerusalem. But he points out that it was quite some time later. How long? How much longer? 3 years. It was 3 years later. And in this interval, he had already been disputing with the people in Damascus. And then when he got to Jerusalem, he, of course, did it there as well. All right, my question was, why is he mentioning that he only saw Peter and James of the, let's say, the important people, the apostles, and of course James at this time was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. But those are the only two men of note that he met while he was there. Why is he saying that? Why isn't he saying, boasting about meeting all the other apostles and all that? Why is he saying, I only met with Peter and I only stayed 15 days, and then James?
He previously had said that he didn't learn this gospel from any other
Right. Right, exactly. He's simply showing, look, I didn't have time to learn all this stuff. I was only there 15 days, okay? I didn't have time to learn all this from them. He's defending his original statement that in verse 12, that I didn't receive my message from man. Verse 19, I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. He's telling them, I am not lying in what I'm saying. He's still defending himself. He's very defensive here. Verse 21, afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And of course, in Acts, it said he eventually made it back to Tarsus, all right, where he was from. And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea. Notice churches, not the church, but the churches. And there were many smaller congregations in Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, quote, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. All right, let's move right into chapter 2.